I know Gene has had the munchies like that a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, everybody has. Experienced.
Woo. Let's ship, right, boys. It's been a minute. And I definitely am excited to be back in the studio to do some shed time action.
Facts, and I'm down. I'm so down for this fucking dab right now, bro. Little strawberries and cream rosin action.
Ooh. All right. Well, while you're getting that rolling up, I'm going to go ahead and press some buttons, cue some things, make some stuff happen, and we're going to get into a Shed Time podcast. Y'all dig?
I dig.
Damn. All right. Let's fucking do this in 3, 2, 1, Shed Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Shed Time. What is Shed Time, you ask? Well, it's code for the consumption of cannabis, but it's much more than that. Shed Time's a state of mind. It's art, it's music, it's cryptocurrency, technology, it's food, it's vaping. It can be whatever you want it to be, as long as you're not letting the bastards get you down, not being a dick, and making it fun. When you're in the shed, it's whatever your mind allows you to create. So now let's get to the Shed Time podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Shed Time podcast, where we are your weekly dose of Shed Time therapy. And right now, we are gassed to be here with you guys today. Of course, I'm Sean Typhon. If you don't know, now you know. And I'm here with the boys Overdrip and Frames Janklin.
Oh, saw it.
So we are we're feeling it today, boys. It's been hectic, guys. For our seasoned listeners, you guys know we're normally a weekend recording ritual, and we're a little bit off our normal schedule right now, and that means that I've been working my ass off. I'm sure James has been working his ass off. I know Uncle Chris stays busy every goddamn day, so it's a beautiful thing to be able to just pause.
Yeah. Cheers to that, bro. Cheers to that.
Mm. Yes. Sir, we all need to remember to take a minute for ourselves, really every day, but you know, at least once in a while, we all got to stop and just, you know, pause for ourselves. And I mean, I don't want people to think that this has to be a complicated thing when I say it, because like that pause can literally be, you know, I took the long way home because it's a scenic route and it was a nice day. You know what I mean? It could be, I bought that little tub of Ben and Jerry's and because I deserve it this week. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be any of that. It could be 5 minutes to just put your favorite song on in your headphones and block the rest of the world out just to reward yourself for how far you've gotten to this point. And I think we all kind of forget that, like, shit, man, we have survived 100% of our worst days to this point. Every time it's like, this is the worst day of my life. Well, guess what? We made it through it because we're here now.
This is true.
You know, I think we owe it to ourselves to take a minute and pause and appreciate that, you know, no matter how tough shit gets, we actually got this.
I feel like some days I don't, and some days I do.
Well, let this be that reminder to you, sir, that you've already gotten this far. All the hard bullshit you've been through so far, and you've already made it this far. So you earned yourself a reward.
My thing I need to keep telling myself is, dude, you've been through fucking worse, bro. You know what I mean? Because, shit, there was a point in time where there was a chance that I might not survive, bro. And I'm still here. And I just need to think about that more often and remind myself that. Yeah, especially bro. On those times where I get, you know, down or just stressed about life and other things that are going on. You know, it's like, yeah, this time may be rough right now at this moment, but dude, you've been through way worse shit and have made it out on the other side. So I just need to start keeping that mentality a little bit more. Not only that, bro, but one thing that I'm sure I've talked about this before here on the old podcast, but I really just need to focus on not letting little shit fucking ruin my day. You know, like stupid little minuscule things that are just not substantial enough for me, you know, like they should not have any effect on my entire day. Yeah, that moment may have sucked or that situation may have sucked, but hey, life goes on. You know what I mean? Something. It's like one of my new mantras that I'm trying to continue to tell myself, just because last night, bro, I had one of those fucking situations. I fucking ordered some McDonald's from the old McDonald's app because I didn't want to fucking get dressed and I didn't want to put shoes on and leave my house to go get food. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just order it because I don't want to do a damn thing. Because as you guys know, I had to work a full day yesterday after just getting back from a trip. You know what I mean? That, you know, was a little bit taxing emotionally, you know what I mean? And
it was short. It's not like a 30-minute drive for a weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like I was already emotionally drained. All right. And then fucking McDonald's shows up. I'm stoked, bro. I'm fucking hungry. Order myself the new double Big Mac. Cause why the fuck not?
Right.
Extra Mac sauce too, by the way, because fuck yeah, Mac sauce. Shows up, open it up, grab out my fucking French fries, grab out my Coke, and then I look and I'm like, where's the box? I move the fucking napkins, and under the napkins is a bag with a spicy McChicken sandwich. And no double Big Mac.
Bruh.
Like, and dude,
bruh.
I kind of went into a spiral, bro. Kind of went into a little bit of a spiral, man. I fucking instantly got on the phone, called Uber Eats because it's delivered through Uber Eats. They could not refund me the whole amount. They would only refund me the sandwich. I'm like, this is bullshit. You guys fucked up or whatever. Just make it right. You know what I mean? The whole point of ordering with this was so that I didn't have to fucking leave my house. And at the end of the day, all I could get was reimbursed for the sandwich. So what I did was, so I got my happy ass, not really happy, but my happy ass in the car, drove to that McDonald's and had them remake my order, including the sandwich that I was refunded for.
Right.
And I said, and I want the fries fresh. Dude, for real, bro. I was so upset, dude, over some fucking McDonald's, bro.
Listen, when you're angry, it's a whole other thing. Yeah,
like honestly, like I understand why I was like that, but at the same time, looking back on it today, it's like, dude, you're fucking ridiculous. It was just some fucking McDonald's. Not a big deal. You got it taken care of. You ate. You were satiated. Fucking
the flip of that, no big though. Deal. The flip of that, though, and this is the thing that like I deal with quite a bit now, because my wife just became a manager of a Dunkin' Donuts. And so, you know, similar vibe of that whole like fast food chain franchise driven service food industry. And the thing that's drives me and her both crazy is that these companies spend millions and millions of dollars to perfect systems so that everything runs smoothly and everything goes out the way it's supposed to. All you have to do is do your fucking job. That's it.
You just have to do your job correctly. Sean, that was all I was thinking the whole time, because the fucked up part about it was on the Uber Eats bag, there is a receipt stuck to the outside of the bag that says what the order is. How did you not notice that it said double Big Mac on the receipt on the bag when you're putting the spicy McChicken in there? It's like, right. What? You're not checking your work as you're doing it? You're just fucking throwing shit around?
Like, that's the thing. Like, there are processes in place. All you need to do is fucking do your job the way they've trained you to do it. and everything works perfectly. Like, maybe this is one of those things, like, I was never on team sports, but I feel like this is one of those things that kids need to play fucking sports to learn. Everybody's got a position. Everybody's got a role. You've got a fucking job to do. Just do that job. The goalie's not here to fucking jump out on the field and fucking kick soccer balls into the end zones. You know what I'm saying? He's there to defend the fucking goal. Same idea. Like, you work the fryer, work the fucking fryer. Don't worry about fucking getting soda. Just work the fucking fryer. That's your job.
You know,
tomorrow you can get soda.
You know what's hilarious about this, Sean? Is saying not how this started off with me saying not to let little shit get to me and just like whatever. And we're literally nitpicking the fuck out of fast food, like in their fucking work process. No, but I totally get what you're saying. At the end of the day, like I said, something like that, I just don't need to let it ruin my day. I can be upset for that moment, but after that, just let it fucking go and move on because there's better things to do and
I totally agree.
Better times to be had. Because obviously, after I ate, I took a dab, I sat here and hung out with the homies in Discord, you know what I mean? Watched some fucking YouTube shorts and randomness on the YouTubes as I do, and I was fucking happy as a pig and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was chilling. That was a little bit of country coming out of me from my weekend. A little pig and shit.
Yo. So obviously listeners are going to hear this a little late, but they probably already know. But honestly, speaking of country music, little bit surprised to hear about Toby Keith.
Yeah, dude.
He's not even that old. He wasn't that old, right?
No, but he's
stomach cancer.
Yeah. He'd been suffering with it for, I guess, some time. And dude, just,
trooping, going out and doing shows, dude, and appearances.
He's still doing shows, bro. He pretty much said, "I'm going to run this thing till the wheels fell off."
For real.
That's pretty much what he did. Like, his last post did something to that effect on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken. I'll try to see if I can find it real quick.
Obviously, I don't follow country music, but there was a time back when like Toby Keith was blowing the fuck up with that post 9/11 song he had done there. I can't even remember the name of it anymore. Like, I was into country music back then. I was dating a girl who was into country. She was, you know, a little swamp Yankee chick, and you know, that's how we got down. It was pickup trucks and fucking cowboy boots and shit.
Yeah, his last post was 3 days ago, and it says, "That's a wrap on the weekend, y'all. Back to it." You know what I mean? So it's like last show of the weekend, back to the fucking grind sort of thing.
And then like a day later, he freaking kicks the bucket.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, totally shocking. And I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, I think it's one of those moments where I think this speaks volumes to how society has, you know, I don't know how to even say it. Like, the way that society treats illness and things like that. Like, we got that whole issue with whatever the fucking guy is in the government that he went to the hospital and kept it super hush-hush because he had cancer and didn't want to talk about it. And now, like, people are completely up in arms because this dude, you know, like, dipped and nobody knew where he was because he was literally getting cancer treatment. And, like, it's almost like there's this secret shame to admit when you're sick. And it's like, I get it in the sense that I don't want pity. I don't want people to, you know.
Well, especially if you're in your last days, like, you don't want everything to be doom and gloom and like people treating you special, like whatever, right? Like, you just want, you probably want your last days to just be genuine and just, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want that extra, like, you don't want pity or people to feel bad for you or be like, "Oh, I'm hearing my prayers, Sean." Like, no, yeah. I personally wouldn't want that.
I'm not
like mad at people if they want to pray for me. Like, I'm like, "Yo, don't you ever fucking pray for me." I'm not, but I don't need to hear it. Like, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. Sorry.
That's the thing. Like, I get it, but it's like, why? Why is it that, like, we're almost afraid to be like, "Yeah, like, I'm really sick, man. Like, it's a thing I'm dealing with." I don't know, man. Like, maybe it's a shame because, like, having lost somebody to lung cancer and seeing how that happens, like, I can't imagine trying to not talk about that with the people around you. You know what I mean? Like, it is such a hard thing for people to go through and to not talk about it. It's a shame that that's the way that we, so many of us, myself totally included, would prefer to approach it.
I just lost somebody to lung cancer, dude.
You know?
Like, it just comes out of nowhere, dude, and there's not much you can fucking do about it.
It's literally why I vape. 100%. It's why I vape. Because I watched my stepdad, who was a long-time smoker, go to lung cancer. And I was like, I have to get off cigarettes. Like, that's... I don't want that in my future. And thank God that we live in a time, as tumultuous as it may be, that vaping is, to some extent, still accessible as a way for people to get off of cigarettes and that sort of thing. And eventually, if people want to, completely off of nicotine.
I mean, plenty of people have done it.
That's it. We have countless friends.
No, shoot, I even have family members that have completely quit after switching to vaping for a period. You know what I mean? Some of them vaped longer than others. Some of them, you know, still vape from time to time, but like my aunt, for instance, she completely quit after smoking practically her entire fucking life. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And it's just so weird that the science is just not being seen by, you know, the people running these fucking agencies and like the FDA and all that shit. And they're just, of course, we've talked about this time and time again on like the green room and stuff, man. It's just ridiculous that the way that things work here, like in this country, and you know, and what the shitty part about it is whatever happens here, a lot of countries tend to follow.
Yeah.
You know,
spread abroad heavily, which is disheartening. I mean, Australia getting super, super restrictive vape regulations.
And dude, the way they went about it's completely wrong. You know what I mean? Of course, they went to a prescription model for those that don't know. So the only way that you are able to access any sort of vapor product is through a prescription. And the only thing that you are able to get is a 50 milligram disposable pod of some sort that I'm sure isn't going to be crazy flavors. You know what I mean? I'm not even sure what the flavor profile is on them. Probably some sort of mint or maybe a tobacco of some sort. But that's literally all you have. And what happens to those people that are like myself and only uses 3 milligrams of nicotine in their vape product 90% of the time?
Well, and it's a misguided approach too, in the sense that like in all other nicotine cessation products, the point is to wean down. There's steps.
Yeah, now they're amping up.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That 50 milligram, each drag is still going to be way more of a concentrated amount of nicotine than they were having as a smoker.
Well, and the thing is, too, is nicotine's not the problem. That's where I feel like the most confusion is with this whole thing. Nicotine is not the issue. You know what I mean? Nicotine, it actually has health benefits, believe it or not. Do some research if you don't believe me. It has shown to help people that suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia. It helps with short-term, long-term memory sort of thing. It helps with cognition for people to need to focus. You know what I mean? There's so many benefits that you can get from nicotine. You know what I mean? It's just the way that you choose to consume it is where the issue lies. You know what I mean? If you choose to combust your standard tobacco cigarette, you're not just getting the tobacco. You're getting the preservatives and all the other sorts of chemicals that are pumping into these things to keep you going back for more. You know what I mean? Those are where the addictive properties come in, is all the other bullshit that they're putting in there to keep you coming back for more. You know what I mean? That's also where you get all the bad shit. You know what I mean? Burning all of that not only creates tar and creates all those carcinogens, but what happens to certain things when you light them on fire or heat them to a certain point, they may change chemically. You know what I'm saying? And shit could
And to that point, I just want to say to people who you know, maybe are listening and aren't as familiar with nicotine vaping as, you know, we might be, this is why we will stand by the fact that we're not saying that it is harmless.
No, not at all. I've never said that.
Because we do accept that during the vaporization process, there are some chemical reactions happening. And some of these flavorings and things like that are converting to other product byproducts that are not healthy to ingest. That being said, one of my favorite analogies, and I think it was Grim Green who made it, was, you know, we're talking about the notion of harm reduction. And when you think about harm reduction, one of the easiest things to think about is wearing a seatbelt when you drive. And statistically speaking, wearing a seatbelt when you drive is a 50% harm reduction. So the harm that you stand to face in a car accident is reduced by 50% simply by wearing a seatbelt. Now, vapor products, by the standards of the Royal College of Physicians in the UK and their long-term ongoing studies on vapor products, are roughly 95%
I think
less
they even
harmful.
Bumped it up to like 98 or something recently.
Well, I know a part of it has to do with your temperature, right? So like, yeah. For us as people who are, you know, sub-ohm vapors and vaping at higher temperatures, I think 95 is probably a fair number for how we vape. And still, a 95% harm reduction from the act of smoking cigarettes and tobacco – seems from that perspective to logically be a great alternative to those who want to either A, consume nicotine alternatively, and B, want to switch from a combustible and inevitably wean themselves off of nicotine altogether. People do it all the time. And like James has mentioned, if you remove the whole chemicals that are produced through the additives and everything else of burning tobacco, it does become a significant easier task to wean and get off of nicotine altogether. My wife has reached a point now, she can buy a bottle of e-liquid, vape it over the course of maybe 2 weeks to a month, and then not vape for a month or two. And then just randomly, yeah, I feel up to getting some e-liquid and vape through that bottle and then just not vape again for a month or more.
Yeah, that's definitely not me.
But she was that way as a smoker too.
Yeah, my problem is, I wouldn't say my problem. My thing is I enjoy nicotine and the sensations and benefits or whatever you want to call them that I get from the use of nicotine. You know what I mean? I'm a very anxious kind of person. It helps kind of mellow me out. You know what I mean? Not only that, but like I said, it does help me focus at certain points during the day. You know what I mean? When I'm kind of getting a little scatterbrained and shit, I can take a little hit off my vape. Or a majority of the time when I'm at work and I really need to focus, I got a nicotine pouch in my lip. You know what I mean? Just because it's just something that it just keeps me... You know what I mean? Like just firing. Like I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do my thing. Not saying that it gives me energy or anything like that, but it just kind of, you know, that I just enjoy it. You know what I mean? Not only that, but obviously I do enjoy my shed time and that sort of thing. I do enjoy just inhaling things. Yeah, okay?
I like.
I'm not gonna lie. I am not going to lie to you. I enjoy it. It is something. I don't know what it is about it. I just enjoy it. You know what I mean? The visual aspect of it, the sensation of inhaling, you know, something and then exhaling it and getting some sort of feeling from. I enjoy it. Okay. But with that being said, I have made sure that I have tried to find the healthiest ways to do such things. I do not combust my flower anymore. I vaporize everything that I consume as far as nicotine and cannabis, except for the occasional edible from time to time. You know what I mean? But other than that, I'm either using my dab rig, which is vaporizing some sort of concentrate. I'm using my volcano, which is vaporizing some sort of flower or concentrate or hash or whatever I decide to put in it. Or I'm using my vape to vaporize some nicotine to get my nicotine buzz fixed, whatever. You know what I mean? That's just what I do.
And I want to double back for a second here. You said, except for, like, obviously you're not going to vaporize edibles. Shout out to the homie, our faithful patron, Ern, for coining the phrase sheddables.
Yeah, dude, sheddables, bro, for sure.
Fucking sheddables.
Sheddables, bro.
In our Discord for our patrons, there is a sheddables logo.
Tell me why right now. I want to start an edible brand and call it Sheddables Edibles.
So I think you could get away with the Sheddables altogether. If you add, like, the edibles, yeah. I think
Sheddables.
I just think if you add Sheddable Edibles, you get a little bit too close to the Incredibles Edibles.
Nah.
And they might have a problem.
Nah. Because there's so many other brands that have edibles after it, bro.
Oh, I feel like I get that, but problem. they don't have the sound that we would have. Incredibles edibles, Sheddables edibles. It sounds completely different thing, bro.
It may sound the same, but it's a completely different word, bro.
Do you have
how
the
you
time
get around
to,
those sorts of things?
Do you have the time and money to fight them in court? Because they're
do you think
fucking,
they have the? Do you think they're really going to come after a little small company called Sheddables Edibles?
I do. I do. I think that.
If you ever caught.
If we made it massive and started making billions of dollars, yes. But if we're just a small company making a little money, no. Doubt it.
So I feel like if you're like making $1 million a year, like, you might have enough traction that they might just pay people to search for anybody that is infringing on anything. Maybe. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Maybe
they're an MSO.
Reasonable amount.
I think if you were in the situation of sounding like a local business in another place, you'd be fine. The caveat here is that they're a multi-state operator. Their products are pretty much in all the legal states. So no matter what market you would put that product in, somebody from their company is operating. So at some point, they will, because it's inevitable. If you get into the market,
I think
you're going to be stocked at the same place.
It, to be honest, because I've seen so many things that share almost the exact same name sitting on the shelf next to each other.
I understand that.
I doubt it would be a thing, but anywho,
it's a big thing right now where a lot of these big multi-state operators are fucking up the mom and pops. It's happening more and more right now. Somebody just sent me a clip. I think it was the homie Foot Clan Dan, as a matter of fact.
Just a complete hypothetical too, by the way.
I hear you. I hear you. But it does spur this interesting topic of some of these bigger cannabis companies literally talking about the way that they are cornering their markets is by just simply not paying the mom and pop companies, because the mom and pop companies don't have the money to come after them to collect what they're owed. And they're shutting these mom and pops down doing it. And they're just sitting there in this, like, boardroom meeting talking about, like, oh, we don't have to fucking pay them. We're just going to shut them down by not paying them and it'll be fine. And Dan's like, dude, like, have you seen this shit? Like, this is crazy. But, like, that's how some of these fucking companies are operating in those markets. It's, I mean, I suppose I shouldn't say it's wild. It's commonplace in other industries, right? Like, Microsoft didn't get this way without brutal, hostile takeovers. See, the same with Apple, I'm sure. They didn't get this way without buying up and shutting down shitloads of competition.
Oh, dude, I mean, there's a million stories. Fuck. Just look at even, like, the founder, right? Like, the McDonald's story or whatever, when Michael Keaton's, like, the bad guy from McDonald's. And what was his name? Ray?
Oh, you're talking, he plays Ray Kroc, or Kroc, however Ray it's pronounced.
Kroc? Yeah, yeah, whatever his name is. And, yeah, dude, like, he's, like, kind of cutthroat. Like, not, what, it's kind of, I don't know. It's just, like, that corporate mentality, right? I'm sure that everybody's heard, like, horrible stories of, like, Walmart doing something to, like, a smaller business and just, like, bending them over.
Speaking of which, bro, Walmart is in a lawsuit with Snoop Dogg and Master P, bro.
Yes!
Yo, for real?
100%.
About Snoop cereal, because Walmart and Post originally wanted to buy Snoop cereal, but Snoop didn't want to sell, so they came to an agreement where they would pack, or they would do a distribution sort of thing, right? And apparently, their claim, Snoop and Master P are claiming that Walmart and Post are in cahoots.
They're in cahoots, yeah.
They're in cahoots, and Walmart is hiding their product in the back and not putting it on shelves because Post doesn't want the cereal next to their boxes on the shelves.
I can 100% back this because when I found it, you guys remember I shot you a picture of it in our group chat. I found the Snoop cereal on the shelf. And I think we even briefly talked about it here on the show. And I was like, yo, did you notice the Snoop cereal was a thing? I didn't find it in the cereal aisle. I found it in the seasonal food aisle. It was just a random section of Snoop cereal, and it was, in fact, way overpriced. It was like $8 or $9 a box. It was in that aisle for like a month, and then it went on the clearance back end cap. And I never saw it.
Oh, yo. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but like if I don't say this now, I'll fucking forget. Okay, so at the grocery store, I got to remember which grocery store. There's a grocery store here that has like all these like wrapper potato chips.
Oh yeah, wrap snacks.
Wrap snacks. Yeah.
Have you guys ever had them?
No,
I have. They're
now. Are they like around you?
Yeah.
Have you tried them all?
I haven't tried them all, but the couple I've tried and the people I've talked to who have tried others, they're like whatever your like no name brand chip brand is in your area. That's pretty much all they are inside.
Yeah, I don't think they're anything spectacular.
You know, it's just like a knockoff Lay's, a knockoff Ruffles. I was going
to
say
it's probably like some white label company that just like paid rappers to put their faces on bags.
Yeah. They probably charge an extra $2 because the rapper's on it and the rapper gets the $1.50, you know? As a matter of fact, some of those exotic snack sites had them all on clearance because they couldn't even sell them.
What's that?
The wrap snacks.
Oh, yeah, dude, like, they look old as fuck. Like, I don't know if they actually are old, if, like, that's just the way that they look.
The bags just aren't, like, up to date with today's standards of packaging and advertising. They're pretty bland as far as the packaging goes. It's just, like, it says wrap snack, and then it's got, like, the picture of whoever and, like, the flavor.
Okay.
Right?
That sounds about right. When I saw them, I was like, yeah, it looks like the drinks are so old. But next time I'll grab a bag. I'll try them out.
You want to be severely underwhelmed, huh?
Well, I mean, what could they be honestly worse than like some just regular no name brand fucking generic grocery store?
I'm sure they're just the same.
it depends how long those wrap snacks have sat by comparison.
This is true too.
True.
Check how long till those chips go stale in the bag?
I don't know, actually even know that. I have no idea.
Because that's the thing, right? Like, I'm going to get into like a really this is dumb guy conspiracy theory here. I suspect that the good companies, you know, the Lay's, the Doritos, those people, they actually, and it's confirmed, they actually put nitrogen inside the bag. It's not just plain old air in the bag. It's nitrogen in order to help slow the aging process of the chip inside. I sincerely suspect that most of those, like, white label, no-name brand companies, they're majoritively just using plain air pumped in. And that's why the chips kind of suck, because they're already going stale by the time we get to them. I think if we were somehow lucky enough to get that, like, crappy no-name brand company's chip the day it was produced, it probably slaps like a fresh Lay's or a fresh Dorito. But by the time we get it in the store, it's already been in that bag for, like, weeks, starting to go stale. That's my dumb guy conspiracy on that one.
Dude, I find that, like, if you ever get a bag of chips and, like, they had popped but you didn't notice, like, the tiniest little bit, that I'll just throw those directly in the trash.
Yeah.
I should have did that with those one, that one garlic bread one we got, dude, because those things were brutal.
Yeah.
They, I, my bag
that was for stale. A cause, though. That was for a cause.
Yeah.
My bag went stale, though, after the show very quickly, and I feel your pain, because I did eat one. I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot I had... Oh, no.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, as much as I enjoyed that flavor, that was awful in that texture of just gross stale chip. Yeah,
it was almost like the chip turned soft.
Yeah. I just got a shudder thinking about it. Of course. That's rough.
Yep. Yep. I love the old soundboard.
Yep.
The price is wrong, bitch.
That is true. Especially on some fucking stale ass chips.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You know what the price is not wrong on, though? Is this grunts that I'm about to throw on the volcano here?
Bro. Thank you. You and I were on the same segue wavelength. Tell me about grunts, your grunts, baby.
Grunts.
Oh, dude. So I've never bought anything from this company before. It's called Ghost Pack. All right. So it's got like a cool little ghost guys, the packaging. You know what I mean? Very, very kid appealing. But of course, kids aren't allowed in the store. But it's dude, total percentage is a 39.6.
That's a tack?
That's the tack. Like, complete. And then THC is 33. So there's a good 6% dancing around that could be either terpenes, CBD. So not only is it tasty, but it's got some thump to it, bro.
Damn, you know, son.
And it's got, like, here.
Dude, it's like an all-angle fucking thump.
Let me just show you this nugget that I've got in here, too. Of course, I saved the nicest one for last.
You got to, man.
Oh, let me get a little zoom action in on it. Look at that nugget there, boys.
Nice. Dude, it almost looks like a starfish from an angle.
It's got some. It's definitely got some purple up in there, but it looks more kind of black. But, dude, it is some tasty, tasty cannabis, if I do say so myself.
I think you're allowed to.
I dig it, man. I picked up some of this pure Michigan from my homies at Tower 3. These dudes are serious on that craft. And this one was a tack of 33.3 with a total THC of 28.9.
Oh, okay. So you got a nice breakdown there.
Yeah. They only test
It's for, almost about the same.
Yeah, in ratio. Yeah, for yeah. Sure. And then terps, I get a 1.95 in this one.
That's not bad at all.
So, and this is one of the things I love about these guys. Again, craft. So if you guys are ever in Massachusetts, you're looking for some good small batch craft cannabis. Now, these guys do organic living soil. So that means like worms and like literal living soil. this shit right here. Hold on. Let me just show you. This is some of the cream of the crop in Massachusetts. Like, here we go. Here we go. There we go. That's a nug that I think is worthy to show off after the one that Mr. Janklin just gave us. So let's go ahead and put that guy on camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they
definitely got some nice orangey hairs on there, dude.
They do some nice work. This is so fresh, to the point that harvest date was 12/19 of last year. And it was packaged on 1/31.
Yo.
For the listeners, it is currently February 7th as we record this. And this product was packaged on the 31st of January. This weed is 8 days in the package. That is why I stand by this brand. Like, that's
no, that's honestly, that's quite impressive.
That's what you want to see. You know, and that's the benefit of these companies. Like, listen, I'm not gonna lie, this ain't no $30 an eighth weed. After tax in Massachusetts, this was a $60 eighth.
Whoa. So,
yeah. Damn, it's $50 before tax. $60 eighth of weed.
That's fucking crazy, man.
But you saw what you pay for. Like, you get what you pay for. Like,
yeah, like, you're getting good weed, but like, I'm not saying that you're not or anything. I'm just saying, like, that's just a pretty good amount of money. Like, yeah, that would cost you dramatically less money.
We're talking
about like less than a third the price.
Mind you, my state just did $1.6 billion in cannabis sales last year.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to get cheaper as time goes on.
It will as time goes.
It already is. Right now, if you don't want something like this. Now, again, this is small craft, small batch cannabis brand. If you don't want that, if you just want some weed, you can get an ounce for like $100. And it's it is decent weed. Like, it's just, it's not anything special. It's you know, in my opinion, it's some regs. You know what I mean? It'll test in the mid to upper 20s. So, like, it's not bunk. It's just, like, it'll be, like, some wedding cake and, you know, some of the more standard, you know, GG4, those kind of strains. And it'll just be all right. It'll be fine. It won't be super tasty, that sort of thing.
It's, like, $100. So, like, you're like, okay.
Yeah. And so that's,
if you're,
that's
like, a mass user.
That's still, like, that's like, $120 out the door after tax in Massachusetts. So, like, that's basically street value for regs, for, like, some regular good weed. Like, that's what I used to fucking sell the homies my ounces for when I sold mids.
It was
$120 an ounce.
Rec legal, Sean?
What's that?
How long have you guys been rec legal?
2016... past 2018 when the first stores opened.
Okay. Yeah, I would say, bro, within like the next couple years, bro, because like you guys are still building infrastructure and like getting companies moving into the state. Now I feel like you guys are probably at a point where you've got like a good amount.
It's already oversaturated.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but like with it being at that point and you guys are making that much revenue, you know, at the end of the year, like I feel like it's only a matter of time where prices are going to slightly drop just so they can move more. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. It already has. And like, you guys are familiar with Old Pal? You know, California's where Old Pal started.
You're talking about like Old Pal, like the fishing line of things?
No. There's a weed brand called Old Pal.
Yeah. It's a weed company.
I was fucking like, what the fuck?
So Old Pal is partnered up with a company called Tilt Holding. So anywhere that Tilt Holding is, which is a multi-state operator, they're able to be. And Old Pal's whole thing is the weed they sell is just – it's good weed. It's fine. And it's not going to be anything crazy, but it's not going to be bunk. But they sell pre-ground bud inside like – old school Bugler tobacco pouches. So like
that's kind of cool.
You literally get a pack of rolling papers and like a half ounce of bud for like 70, 75 bucks before tax.
And it comes in like the same package, or it just like comes in like the pouch and then a pack of papers. Is that what you're saying?
It's just like a Bugler pack. Pop open your top. You got a little zipper that you open. There's your pre-ground weed inside and your pack of papers, and you can roll up.
Okay, I don't know what a Bugler is. I was thinking it was like a chewing tobacco style pouch or like a pipe tobacco style pouch.
Same idea. Yeah. It's just rolling tobacco.
Do you guys have tops?
Yeah, tops
is similar. Because tops is like a popular rolling tobacco sort of situation here, and it's a very similar type of thing.
Yeah, you know, they're just the old school rolling pouch, but yeah, it's brilliant. And so like we used to run a promotion with those dudes where we would do the vendor pricing thing. And so once a month at the dispensary, you can go in that joint on what we call Old Pal Day, and you can literally get one of them for like half that price. So you basically can walk out that door, I think it was $90 after tax for a half ounce regular. So it would be 90 bucks out the door for an ounce with tax. If you did the Old Pal special, get two of their half ounces that were at the vendor price, which is half price. Boom. Out the door, 90 bucks. You got an ounce. Brilliant.
And if you think about it, like, dude, most people, I don't know, like, they probably wouldn't go through an ounce that quick.
I mean, I'm just gonna put some things into perspective. Currently on the street value in Massachusetts, some decent good bud, 120 a half. Between 100 and 120, we'll say. But yeah. That's like average for a half ounce of some good bud. Meanwhile, you can go get an ounce of that same bud at a dispensary right now for 120 with tax out the door. It's wild.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like anything else, right? Like, you know, you can get like just cheaper deals because stuff is just not as good, or like they got a really good price on it, or...
That's where
like it's like, really popular, so like they always want to keep it moving, so like they keep it at a good price, or you know what I mean?
That's,
I don't know.
That's
like
where Massachusetts has to loosen up some of the restrictions that they have on all of that. Is that like I think cannabis operators in Massachusetts need to be able to do more actual like sale and discount type stuff. The fact that they can't do it, and so everybody has to use these like weird little loopholes around the rules.
Yeah, so it's a game of cat and mouse, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, basically, the way it was explained to me, and I loved it, is that the point of the inspector when he comes to, from the Cannabis Control Commission, the point of the inspector is to make sure that he can tick all his boxes. As long as he can check all his boxes and say that you are compliant in all these places, that's all he cares about. So yeah. As long as you know what boxes he needs to check, you know how to steer around them, you can play that game and you can cut your prices in different ways and offer sales and discounts to your customers. You just have to do it creatively.
That's pretty much how things work here in California too, bro. Like when I talk about all the deals and stuff I get, I'm sure they're doing very, very similar sort of thing. And the way they get away with it is by charging like a penny or this sort of thing. And, you know, still charging you full price on one, but giving you the other one at half price. It's like they probably got those ones.
Or just not telling you that there's a deal until you're there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is like you don't
know. Oh, you're allowed to say it when you're there? So if I walk into a dispensary and be like, yo, are there any deals? Then like the person would be able to tell me that there's those deals?
So that...
Or no?
Here's where, at least in Massachusetts, it gets sketchy. Technically speaking, I can't tell you that we have any deals. So if I'm your bartender, technically speaking, I can't say that we have deals for you. However, I can tell you that I have some excellent priced products. I can tell you that I have some special event pricing. I can tell you that I have something like a special menu that has all of my reduced price sale items on it, but I can't tell you that they're reduced priced. You just have to look at that and be like, hey, wasn't that wedding cake fucking, you know, $50 a month ago, and now you want 40? All right. You know what I mean? Like that's the game that has to be played. And I think like some of that should be restricted. Like it doesn't need to be so crazy. We should be able to just be like, hey, you know, it's a 4th of July sale.
Yeah, I don't know
what I'm saying.
They have sales here all the time, or just like say sales, but like they'll be just like more like buds. I've not ordered anything online on a holiday or like when they're having a big sale, so to speak. I just, when you're on the websites, it'll say on sale.
Yeah.
And it'll just be like a drastically reduced price. And you're like, whoa.
We can't say that it's going to be on sale, but we could be like, yeah, we're having this event. And then you just happen to look and be like, what's up with the event? Oh, all of these products are these prices.
So there's actually no limit as to what you can price to that. It's that how you can advertise it or like what kind of discounts you can give.
There is and there isn't. So like we are technically, as an operator, you're not allowed to just like liquidate your product to consumers because it's starting to go out, right? Like you could do like penny sales for product to your staff as samples. Typically when you get a penny deal in a shop, like for example, the Stizzy deal that James was able to get with the little case and stuff.
Yeah.
Stizzy supplies the company and says, yeah, you sell it to for a penny.
Stizzy is the company though.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you know what I mean? They could do that with like us though. Like if I were an operator still, they could do that with a dispensary and just be like, here, you sell a pod, then you sell them that for a penny. Because everything has to be registered as a sale, which is why the penny sale happens. But, you know, they'll just be like, here you go. Like, we used to do it all the time with vape batteries. You buy that company's vape pen or vape cartridge, give you the battery for a penny. Boom. Easy. Company would provide it. They'd be like, here you go. Shit was dope. You know how many of those I had to turn down? Like, listen, I don't use 510 carts enough for you to be giving me 1,000 batteries, guys. Every vendor that sells a vape cart's like, here, have a battery. Here, have a battery. Here, have a battery. You're like, bro, calm down.
I got a lifetime supply.
For real.
These batteries last. I'm good.
Dude, the funniest part is they'd always be like, yo, just give them out to your friends. I'm like, listen, I don't have enough friends who use vape carts. Period. Like, I couldn't give them out to people. Like,
I'm sure there's some patrons in the chat or like listening right now. Like, well, shit, I'll take one.
Yeah, well... I hear that. That's why we were able to give away some grinders and shit in the past to some of the patrons. But yeah, it.
God, love the freebies, bro.
That was the cool thing. Like when I got something that was dope, like, all right, bam, right here. I am not a fan of this brand. I wouldn't buy their products. I wouldn't recommend anybody buy their products unless you're just looking for some, you know, cheap basic weed. However, you gave me a friggin' promotional free grinder. Let's go. This thing has been kicking ass for like 2 years.
About it. A man can always use a grinder.
Right? Or this one. One of the companies that we did a lot of work with, Nature's Heritage, you guys know I love that. I've talked about their weed a bunch. One of their rolling trays.
Dude, you ain't seen my fucking Stizzy Worldwide rolling tray, bro? Hashtag Stizzy Worldwide.
Speaking of rolling trays, I got one that we can give away.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. I think we're going to get a Patreon giveaway going on and give away a rolling tray.
Let's go.
Boom.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So, patrons, if you're listening, get excited. I got a rolling tray for you. Someone's going to get it. We're going to do probably a random number generator because I think that's just the most fair way, right? And we'll just, bam, pull a name out of the hat, whatever one of those things do, and we'll pick a patron, and someone's going to get a free rolling tray because I got a bunch of those, too, from promotional items. Yo, honestly, again, talk about cannabis promotional items. I got a coffee mug from Select.
Oh, is it that one that's got the warmer?
No, this one just changes color based on temperature.
Oh, okay. Those are
so cool. Like, it starts out as like a red mug, and then when you put your hot coffee in it, it'll turn white. And then as your coffee cools and the mug cools, it starts to turn back to red.
Yeah, dude, that's cool. I've actually got one of those from my sister. It is I can't remember if I still have it or not because it started to chip up, but it was a Harry Potter one. So it was a black mug, and then you'd put it in and it would like turn white, and then there'd be like black writing saying like Harry Potter, and then there might have been like a logo of some sort or something like that. I don't know. It was pretty sick. Like, it honestly looked kind of magical. I was probably like 35 years old when I got that from my sister, and like her and I both really enjoyed the Harry Potter books a lot. Like, I basically got them all from her after she finished reading them.
You like the movies?
Yeah, the movies are not bad. Yeah, I don't dislike the movies. I don't think that the movies like made me feel the same way as reading the books.
Are you excited for the TV show? Or the series they're doing on HBO?
I didn't actually know that there was one. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds cool. I'll watch it. I'll check it out.
That's something I saw the other day. Apparently, on like Max or HBO, or I think it might be one of the... I'm not sure what it's called anymore. They keep changing the fucking name. But they're doing a series, like a Harry Potter series. And I don't know if they're... I think they're recasting, though.
Yeah, well, it only makes sense. Like, all those people would be in their 30s now. I think they could be like the parents.
Because the thing that I watched said something about teeth. It was like one of those videos where it was like expectations on like what it might be. Like, do you think that they can, or that the franchise will last with the new casting? And like that was like the whole ending of the video because they were just
I mean, that only makes sense.
Those videos are so weird though. You know which ones I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, dude. I know.
They'll show you like a clip of some shit, and then they'll ask you like a question at the end. It's like
it is at HBO or Max or whatever the fuck they're calling it now. It is going to be on them. They cast a bunch of names I don't recognize. Oh, Helen Mirren.
How old is like Harry Potter, Hermione, and Ron, and all that? In this,
I don't have that answer at this very second.
I think it might be starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. But that's like speculation. Or
all right, we're gonna go to this recent article from Deadline.
Okay.
They are a reliable source. I have no idea who they are. Let's see.
Sounds super reliable.
This new Max original series will dive deep into each of the iconic books that fans have continued to enjoy for all of these years.
So it's just going to go back from the beginning and go more in depth, I think.
Yo, imagine each season is a fucking book. Yo, that'd be fucking kind of cool. Dude, they'd have to do like a double fucking like last season.
So, all right. Ready? Next paragraph. Early reports had each season of the series focusing on one book in the Harry Potter book series, which consists of 7 novels.
Oh, that's fucking great.
I wonder how many episodes each one will be, though, because I'm sure the seasons aren't going to be the same length because some books.
No, they might do like maybe like they might start out. Yeah, the beginning. I think that like even the beginning, they're going to add a bunch.
Aren't that thick, but I know like
they're like under 500 pages for sure.
They're also
like the last few were like 8. Now they're like fucking one of them was 2 books, Bible, bro. I think everyone I read was 1, but like. Dude, when you get later on,
or they like do the paperback, all those 1 and 2, like when they did the movies.
The movies, yeah.
No, they're the also movies. Saying that they're planning 10 seasons. So,
because there's other books after too, aren't there?
Well, so that's the thing. One speculation is that they may leverage the Fantastic Beasts to pad out that 10 seasons. But the other aspect
is start there.
But that's what I'm saying. Like they may be using that to like pad out what they mean by 10 seasons for seven novels. However, like Uncle Chris just pointed out, where some of those books get really long, they may just use 7 novels and
just do multiple seasons. And,
right? Yeah, dude, may take 2 seasons to complete a whole story arc.
Yeah, because they never said they were doing 7 seasons. They just said that each season to focus on one book.
So that may be the approach as well. I mean, again, so a lot of it's all speculation.
Like 9 and 10 could be focusing on book 7.
Right. 100%.
But there's still the season is focusing on one book.
that's totally part of the speculation here.
That sounds interesting. Like that also sounds like a long time. You're going to have to wait to watch all of that.
You've got about
a fucking decade.
You've got Toby Wolf as Harry Potter, Bronte Carmichael as Hermione, Joshua Pickering as Ron, Helen Mirren as Minerva, Tom Felton as Lucius, Adam Driver as Severus, Blair Underwood as Dumbledore.
Yo, I don't want to be like too dark or anything, but like Helen Mirren's got to be like almost 80, and she's going to be doing something for 10 years. Like, that's.
Well, you know, AI's gotten really AI, good.
Yeah. AI. That's probably part of her contract. They're like, listen, Helen, I'm going to tell you what. Like, if at any point you can't do this role anymore, like, for whatever reason, we are going to just use your likeness in AI. Okay? You have to sign the contract. It says okay.
I mean, you heard about Bruce Willis doing that, right?
Doing what?
So Bruce Willis signed a contract with a company to use his likeness in an AI ad. Because obviously
he got paid.
Yeah, like obviously he in his current state of health is not well enough to be on camera shooting ads, shilling something. But he signed a contract with a company to allow them to use AI to use his voice and his features in order to do this commercial and shill their product for them.
That's crazy.
So,
also, what's wrong with Bruce Willis?
He's been very sick for a while.
Yeah, got like some sort of brain neurological.
Yeah, he's diagnosed with aphasia, a language disorder, which led to him stepping away from acting in 2022. His family has confirmed that the disease has progressed to frontotemporal dementia.
Oh no!
And that frontal temporal dementia apparently is like really recent news, unfortunately. So yeah, it's getting worse and worse. So it's a shame, man. We're seeing the end of Bruce Willis, but thank God we have quite a collection of Bruce Willis films. He will live on in our hearts forever.
Because, absolutely, man.
Dude, like, some of the, like, not just, like, obviously, like, there are certain films that people just immediately think of, Die Hard obviously being part of that, like, Bruce Willis flick, right? But there are so many great Bruce Willis flicks that...
Dude, one of my favorite, like, Bruce Willis films, which I don't think it's a Bruce Willis film, but, like, one of my favorite roles played by Bruce Willis is fucking Pulp Fiction, bro.
Right?
Like, I fucking love his character in that fucking movie. I don't know why.
And he's in Four Rooms.
I've been so long, I don't remember much of it.
He is in Four Rooms, yeah. Like, he's in that one scene.
Or Fifth Element, bro.
Dude, Fifth Element. Oh, dude,
Fifth Element, yeah, no, that's a good movie.
Classic.
Aziz, Light.
Dude, there are so many Bruce Willis movies that I would watch.
IMDb, 1980 is the first film he has an acting credit in. And then it just goes on from there.
I don't think that I really remember him from anything before Die Hard.
So
I'm sure I've seen something at some point, but like I don't remember him from anything before Die Hard.
So here's some fun ones then. You ready? He's in an episode of Miami Vice back in 1984. He's in an episode of The Twilight Zone in 1985. Those immediately just blew my damn mind. Die Hard's 1988. He's in an episode of Roseanne in 89. Yo, you ready for this? Do you guys remember the movie Look Who's Talking?
Yeah, of course.
He's the voice of Mikey.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, in the second one, it's him and Roseanne Barr.
Yep.
Like the in Look Who's Talking 2 or
yeah,
now?
Yeah, Look Who's Talking 2. Yeah. Bonfire of the Vanities. Another huge classic. Loaded Weapon 1. He's got an uncredited spot in that. That's a riot. Pulp Fiction in 94. Die Hard Vengeance in 95.
Pulp Fiction's such a fucking good movie, dude.
Four Rooms in 95. 12 Monkeys in 95. Last Man Standing in 96. The Fifth Element in 97. Oh, man.
Dude, he was like massive in the 90s.
Armageddon, 98.
Dude, Armageddon.
Dude, that was such a fucking huge movie, dude.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing.
Bro, Sixth Sense. I see dead people.
Oh, yeah, dude. Dude, honestly, that movie creeped me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, see, like, I watched these movies when I was, like, a teenager.
Yeah, I was a few years younger, man. I wasn't like into ghosts and shit when I was a kid, dude. I was like, nah, I don't want nothing to do with anything like that, bro.
Well, like when Pulp Fiction came out, I would have been in grade 8. So like
97?
No, 94.
Oh, dude, I was 3. 4. Almost, yeah, I was 3.
I remember seeing The Fifth Element in theaters.
Yeah, I didn't see that until way after, bro.
It was probably like a 14. AA 14.
I was 7 in 94, so like I remember Pulp Fiction being a new movie, like in theaters movie, but obviously I wouldn't have gone to see it because I was a young child. But I do remember like all of my family buzzing about how great of a film it was after them having seen it either rental or theater. I don't, you know, obviously I don't remember those kind of details. But like, I do remember when that was like a relevant thing in the cultural lexicon. Like it was a big fucking deal. Tarantino was like the hot shit after that. Like it was crazy. Classic. Dude, classic.
I remember in that time, so like in the 90s, in the 2000s, there's like two pretty big directors that were like kind of just like putting out a lot of movies that would get traction pretty quick. It was Quentin Tarantino and M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, dude.
But they were very different. I actually liked both of their movies. Like most of M. Night Shyamalan's movies, like I liked, and all of Quentin Tarantino's movies I liked. Some of them, like now looking back on it, it's like a bit cheesy. Sorry, what were you going to say about M. Night Shyamalan?
See, like M. Night Shyamalan in that era, like all of his movies were the same. The Village.
Yeah, they're a similar vibe.
You know, like they all had like the same idea. There's like some creepy thing in the woods that's going to come and kill everybody. It's like, it got boring. Honestly, I think horror movies in general got really boring after that era in like probably the early to mid 2000s when everything became gore obsessed. It's like at that point, like horror just.
I was never really like a big horror guy, so like I'll have to just let you run that. Honestly, like, I never really watched too much horror at all.
Like when I was growing up, like we watched, you know, the Friday the 13th and shit like that, and Halloween, and like those had suspense and that sort of thing. They didn't just rely on shock factor of gore. And then, like, you know, along comes the Saw movies, and like, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed Saw to be, you know, 1, 2, and 3 at the beginning of all of that.
I didn't enjoy really many of them.
4, 5, and I was like, all right, this is getting tiresome.
Yeah, dude, I don't even remember really enjoying number 1, let alone 2 or 3.
Dude, like I
like the 2 movies from Rob Zombie, like House of 1,000 Corpses and.
See,
what's the other one called?
It's
on the tip of my tongue, but
oh my god! Why can't I?
James, remember? Help us out, bro.
Sorry, dudes. I was
House of 1,000 Corpses.
So it's filmed in your area.
By Rob
Devil's
Zombie.
Rejects.
Yo, Devil's Rejects. Yeah.
Boom.
A lot of those things are filmed out this way, like
yeah, desert vibes
and shit.
Yeah, like it.
Fast and Furious had a few scenes filmed out where a buddy of mine used to live.
Dude, you remember in National Lampoon's when Eddie is like outside Las Vegas? Is that like kind of like the desert where you live, or is that like more Las Vegas? Nevada has more deserts.
It's the same.
It's like the same.
It looks the same.
You remember, like, what I'm talking about, right? When he's, like, out in the camper in the desert. It's Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you see driving out to Vegas, really. The color, like, the sand changes and, like, the rocks change. Like, that will change, but, like, it pretty much looks the same, you know? Like, you won't see Joshua Trees. I don't know if you'll see Joshua Trees as much out there, but you'll see him out here for sure.
Dude, you know what I always like wondered? Did you two like write their shit in California or something? Like, why was their song or album called the Joshua Tree? Because like we don't have those here. I would never imagine they'd have them in fucking England.
That's a good question, and I never even thought about it or necessarily knew about it.
I vaguely recall it having a religious connotation. And so I'm Googling it real quick to see. I know it says that people ask, what is the Joshua Tree and what does it symbolize? And some say that it is a symbol of faith and hope amid the dry and barren desert. The Joshua tree is a large, slow-growing tree belonging to the Yucca genus, and it grows only in the Mojave Desert of the southwestern United States and northwestern Mexico. So that may be part of it as the metaphor. But now we're going to go and see if there's anything.
So, James, how far away are you from the Mojave Desert?
I'm in it, bro. I have Joshua tree in my front yard, dude.
You're fucking in it. All right, so you're close.
Yeah, dude. I have one in my front yard and a couple in my backyard.
Dude, you have sandstorms? You can't move them. Or is that just stupid of me to even ask?
Sometimes they'll get like dusty and fucking sand will come out pretty crazy if the wind picks up enough. But it's not like nothing like
what you not like every think. Night.
Or it's not like what you'd think either, you know.
It's like I can't even see, bro.
Yeah, it's not like that. It'd just like, you know, and it'd only be for like a small part of wherever you're at. It just depends on if you're near a place that's super sandy or not.
Yeah, and it's like really, really dry, like really, really dry or something.
All right, are you ready? I've got the backstory of why YouTube or why you two, not YouTube, why they chose to name the album The Joshua Tree. So, the album is influenced by American and Irish roots music, and through socio-politically conscious lyrics embellished with spiritual imagery, it contrasts the group's antipathy for the real America with their fascination with the mythical America. Inspired by American experiences, literature, and politics, U2 chose America as a theme for the album. Recording began in 1986 in Ireland, and to foster a relaxed creative atmosphere, the group primarily recorded in two houses. Several events during the session helped shape the conscious tone of the album, including the band's participation in the Conspiracy of Hope benefit concerts for Amnesty International, the death of roadie Greg Carroll, and lead vocalist Bono's travels to Central America. Recording was completed in November of 1986. Additional production continued into January of 87. Throughout the sessions, U2 saw a cinematic quality for the record, one that would evoke a sense of location, in particular, the open spaces of the United States. They represented this in the sleeve photography, depicting them in American desert landscapes. So thus naming it the Joshua Tree, this lone tree thriving in the middle of a vast desert landscape.
Yeah, you can't even like move them or cut them down or anything without getting a permit.
Oh, really?
Aren't they sharp too? Like wicked sharp?
Yeah, they got some pokies on them. Not like.
So if you're gonna wipe out into a tree, that's not the tree you want to wipe out into. Like wipe out into.
Yeah, it might hurt a little bit.
Yeah. Like a regular tree hurts, but at least then there's nothing stabbing.
Have you ever seen one, Chris? Do you know what they look like?
No, I'm going to Google it right now.
Desert plants. Do I spell it
just
general.
Like the name Joshua?
Yep.
Desert plants in general are not friendly, touch-friendly plants for the most part.
They got to be there. That has to be a hardy plant to survive the desert, bro.
Yeah, those look fucking weird. Like, how do they even survive?
Dude, they take forever to grow. So if you've got a big one, it's old as shit. Like some of the ones we have in my yard are probably old as fuck, bro.
Like, what's old as fuck? Like, over 50 years old?
I'm not sure. I don't know how long it takes them to grow, but
probably hundreds. You gotta figure like.
I mean, they look pretty cool, though. I will say that, like, they look pretty cool. Like, they're definitely unique,
and they're all different looking too. They all grow slightly different.
It does look like they have bark.
Yeah.
There's a Joshua Tree National Park.
Yeah, dude, I've gone rock climbing there. It's awesome. It's honestly a really beautiful place, dude. If you ever get a chance to go, I suggest go camping. Just make sure you zip up your tent and stuff and make sure you don't put it down on any scorpions or anything.
Sick. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, dude. Just being honest, man. I went out there camping as a Cub Scout, dude. So one of the processes before you pitch the tent, bro, make sure you clear your spot. Make sure there's nothing underneath the dirt that's going to crawl up underneath the tent.
And if you leave your shoes outside of the tent, check them for scorpions and snakes before you put them on in the morning.
Facts.
Dude, the national park's pretty fucking big, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, dude.
It's like mountains all within it, and fucking, it's big.
Yeah, they got some beautiful national parks out there.
I would assume that, like, most countries have done their best to have some beautiful national parks. But us in North America definitely have the luxury of space. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm biased.
Like, dude, I bet you the, like, Canadian national parks, if you combine their land masses all together, like, it's bigger than probably, like, 90% of the fucking countries, bro. That are just national parks.
I'm sure of that.
I
think I'm biased, though, because we live, you know, in a place where there is such a diverse flora and fauna from north to south just in this country alone. Like, you can have Joshua trees in California, and then you can literally travel north, get redwood trees, pine trees, like all sorts of different foliages.
Dude, honestly, just traveling through the state of California, you can get some pretty crazy, like,
yeah, palm trees.
Yeah. You can get palm trees if you're going down the coast. You get fucking Joshua trees if you're more inland. You can go up to the redwoods and go through some fucking farmland. You can go, it's mountains. Got a little bit of everything here in California, to be honest.
It's wild.
Yeah, like, California is so tall, like from, you know, yeah. I guess it's like
the longitude. Almost the entire West Coast.
Yeah, you can literally go skiing and surfing and not leave your state.
But, like, you can also, like, go over, like, you're still in the Rockies no matter where you kind of leave, like, California, are you not? Like, if you go, like, east, like, you're kind of, like, leaving California before you, like, get out of the, like, the foothills and stuff like that.
You all end up in, like, fuck, my geography is not fucking helping me right now. But yeah, dude, it's definitely, you'll drive a lot longer if you're going from top to bottom than you are going from east to west. I'll put it that way. Because I drive 3 hours from where I'm at. I'm in Nevada. Or Arizona. Or like Utah. Colorado, I think.
Yeah, you figure the Rocky Mountain Range is 3,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's literally almost all of North America, entire left fucking side. Like, the whole fucking West Coast. I've been, like, to the Rockies. Of North America, well, bro.
So, into the Sierra, yeah, mountains, at least. According to this, it continues into Canada.
Of course it does, bro.
Like,
that's where they're the biggest.
Schools.
Okay, so Canada's got big mountains, big woods.
No, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, the Rockies and British Columbia are, like, the biggest. Like, I feel like Whistler and all, like, all those places that are, like, out there, like, they're some of the biggest height ski resorts in North America.
I understand that American schools in the Northeast, because we're in the White Mountains. When we talk about the Rocky Mountains out here, they're like, "Oh yeah, you know, that's Colorado." That's how they talk about it. It's like, "Oh, you know, that's Colorado and them."
Yeah, no, the Rockies, dude, they're like, they come up from, like, BC, and they come down fucking all the way, like, all the way into, like, well into California.
Well, like, I know the White Mountains go all the way into Canada.
Yeah, so, but, like, I don't think that we have those. I don't. As weird as that might sound.
They, as, like, far as I know, they travel all the way through Maine into Canada.
They could end up in, like, New Brunswick maybe or something. I know that in Quebec there's the Laurentian Mountains.
And to be fair, it could just be urban legend. Let me just state that. It very well could just be urban legend that people have said that you can travel all the way into Canada via the White Mountains. So I will point that out.
Because I know that there is the Laurentian Mountains, which are in Quebec, but there could be, like, very small, like, mountains through New Brunswick, like, which would be the province that is beside Maine. Like, I could tail into that for sure. Like, I just, I've never heard of it.
I've never even heard of the White Mountains.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither.
They're the mountain range that runs through New Hampshire.
From like Middle Earth or something for a second.
Yeah, so interestingly enough,
where the White Walkers are from?
Probably. It's definitely urban legend. It's definitely urban legend around here.
Okay.
Because now that I'm looking at it, I think what people are talking about is that you could hike a various run of mountains all that way. Because the White Mountains themselves are specifically in New Hampshire. I'm learning about my own geography. Can you tell I don't go to New Hampshire? but yeah, that's the main mountain span that runs here in the Northeast. So that's what they talk about up here. It's like, yeah, you know, we go to the White Mountains. Like, you talk about Vermont and New Hampshire as your mountains. Meanwhile, I see pictures of Banff and I'm like, that's a mountain.
Mountains are cool, dude.
I love mountains.
It's a different vibe, bro, for sure. The air is so much cleaner up there, though, I feel, when I'm up there. So more crisp, because there's usually so many more trees.
Yeah, dude, then there's, like, way less fucking people. Like, I like people, don't get me wrong. But I like choosing the people that I'm around, as opposed to just being around people to be around people.
Agreed.
Like, not even because, like, I'm antisocial. I hate fucking assholes or, like, entitled people, bro.
Yeah. I'm a bit.
That's what I struggle with the most. Like, I hate holding my tongue, and, like, I'm not rude enough to be shitting on everybody anymore. When I was in my 20s, I was, like, definitely a lot more loudmouth.
Yeah, maturity.
Dude, I remember one time I got chased in my car, bro, because I saw these dudes littering. And, like, they were literally, like, on the streets of Toronto, and they had Quebec license plates. And they're just, like, fucking tossing McDonald's garbage at the fucking window. So at a traffic light, I was like, hey, why don't you guys fucking take that fucking trash back to Quebec? And they just fucking, like, lost their fucking minds, bro. They're, like, chasing me through the fucking city. And there was, like, four dudes, and it was in a Mercedes. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was just fucking zipping around in my fucking little Pontiac Wave through the city, just fucking banging fucking gears, getting away from these motherfuckers, because they were fucking pissed. I guess, like, I don't know. I was fucking pissed. That's why I said something. But sorry, James, you're going to say something.
No, dude, I was just laughing, bro. That's hilarious.
I got to give that a...
Yeah, dude, honestly, like, I was just about to, like, call my buddy and be like, yo, like, where can I go near your apartment and just fucking nobody will find me? But I managed to fucking get away from them. Or they just gave up, one of the two.
I'm still at that age where, like, I wish a motherfucker would, but I'm at that age where I know I really don't want that conflict.
I'm at the point where I just don't have time for it, bro.
You know,
I just,
like,
don't. So if there's something that's going on that's going to irritate me, I try to just remove myself from the situation before I either say or do something stupid.
Oh, dude, I just want to personally point out to anybody out there, I was actually never a person that ever went looking for it. I never wished anybody would.
I don't think you... sounded like that.
No. But like Sean said that after, and I was like, yeah, I've never actually felt that way. Like, I was always the kind of person to be like, if I have to end it, I have to end it. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Well, I would never want to do that ever.
Don't get it misconstrued. I'm not saying I want to go out there and start it.
No, but you're like wishing somebody would.
I wish a motherfucker would.
And I don't, because I never did.
If you gave me carte blanche to whoop your ass, I might just have to take it. And sorry that I start calling you my dad. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to work out some fucking issues. You know what I'm saying? I fucking told you it's my life.
Dude, as much as I'd love to say that I would probably do that, dude, I don't think I have the heart to fucking hit another human being in the face unless they actually really did something to, you know what I mean?
Oh my God. That's the thing though, right? Like, as much as I would, as I'm like, you know, I wish somebody would give me an opportunity to just let it all out. I also do not want to deal with that.
You know what I wish somebody would, though?
Load your bag for you so that it was always ready?
Get my dab ready for me because we're about to take another rip ski.
And while that's happening, it's a great opportunity for me to point out to our viewers these fucking super dope hats that we've been repping all night.
Oh, yeah. These things? These old things?
The first ever Shed Time hats, ladies and gentlemen. We have officially made them. They are a thing. We've got quite a few cool little things popping up over there on our little merch site. Things are we're ironing out kinks right now. So, you know, you may see it up. You may see it down. When you check, just keep checking on it. It will be back. We are getting it rolling, and I want to make sure that as we run these few first test sales and we get things working, that we smooth out all the kinks. And that way, when we fully launch and have this thing popping for people, you guys will get the best experience possible. And right now, I'm going to say that I'm pretty content with the hat. There's a few things that, you know, James and I have talked about that we'd like to maybe change up. But right now, I'm actually thoroughly impressed by the quality that the manufacturer provided.
Dude, for the protos, bro, you always got to have one first to, you know, iron out the kinks after the fact. And I gotta say, for first round, I'm not mad at it, dude.
Well, a couple little tweaks and peaks and the hat will be on point. I've personally used this manufacturer before, so like when it comes to t-shirts and things like that, I can tell people 100% it is true garment ink being used. It's none of that like iron-on style where you have to be extra careful or it'll rip. So like if you just want to be a lazy bum like me and just chuck all your clothes into the washing machine and not care what setting it's on, these hold up to it. These can handle it. They're not gonna, you know, disappear and flake off on you after your first wash, which unfortunately, I'm not gonna name names, but one of my favorite content creators on the interwebs there on the YouTubes, I bought one of his sweatshirts and that's exactly what happened. And it's like, dude, it's such a bummer because you could barely tell what that image was on the front of that sweatshirt now. And I'm like, I'm not going to wear this now.
Yeah, now this is just for work.
Like, yeah, like.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go do yard work, but it's a bit cold. Yeah, raking leaves on this bitch.
Exactly. Like, it's a bummer. And I loved that hoodie. And it's like, damn, dude. So, like. Thankfully, I know that these guys, they are printing with quality ink. Hell, I've got some shirts that were made by the same manufacturer that are now 3, maybe 4 years old. I mean, the Charlie Baker Hates Me shirt that I made on the Angry Hippie site, I don't even know how many years ago. Oh, fuck, it's probably been 2 years now since Charlie Baker's been gone. No, probably a year since Charlie Baker's been gone. So, yeah, it's probably like 3 years, something like that. That shirt still holding up, still looks pristine. So I'm very, very pleased with the quality. And now that we've used some embroidery from them, we know what we want to test with them. I think we're going to continue to get really cool products out of them. Another really cool thing that we've added to the merch site recently are pint glasses because, you know, sometimes you just want to shed time, and your shed time is a beer. Maybe it's a different beverage. Maybe it's an infused seltzer or an infused soda or what have you. Maybe you're just going to throw your protein shake after the gym in it. I don't care. You got a Shedhead pint glass. We got Shed Time Podcast No Slip Mats. Use it as a dab mat. Use it as a mouse pad. Your choice. Have at it. Also, it's a cool shit. Hoodies, t-shirts, the whole nine. They're all coming at you. And speaking of coming at you, we are coming at the end of our time here today. Gina is giving me the signal that it's time to wrap it up. And it's been a real pleasure to bring this dose of therapy and, you know, chat it up about a whole bunch of different things with all of y'all out there listening. So a big thank you to all of you. If you guys have any questions, any requests, feel free to send an email. You can send it to shedtimestudios@gmail.com. And we'll take everything that we get there into consideration and see if we can't, you know, get a guest or answer your questions or whatever it is that you have in mind. So feel free to hit us up there. Other than that, I'm going to send it around to the boys and let them sign it out. Uncle Chris.
Woo. Yeah. Well, it's been a little bit different of a recording sesh, but like, honestly, I felt just as good as normal. As a matter of fact, it actually felt a little bit more appropriate for me to get all, you know, shed timed up at this time. So I'm very much happy. Hopefully that came through in the episode. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, go to shedtimepodcast.com. You're going to find all the stuff. Basically anything that you ever really want to know about us, the show, guests, merch, links, all that stuff, it's all there. So go check that out. And of course, you know, you can check out the three of us on Friday nights on the Frames, Jank, and Vapor YouTube channel. Come by, kick it there if you'd like. You're more than welcome. And I think that's it. So everybody be safe, have a good week, and live your best life. Frames.
Got him right at the end of the dab.
Woo! All right. Well, shout out to all you shedheads for all your guys' continuous support. Really, really do appreciate you guys for, you know, just showing out for us. So make sure you guys continue to do that. Leave those 5-star reviews if you haven't already. That helps us out in the algorithm and all that stuff. You know, share, tell your friends, follow if that's a thing. I don't know when it comes to, you know, the whole podcast aspect of this, but you can also check out the episodes on YouTube. But if you want to get the early, you know, pre-release sort of situation, you can check out the Patreon, because you get all kinds of cool exclusive stuff like Discord servers and, you know, other ways to keep in contact with us. But of course, you can check us out on Friday, like Chris said, on my YouTube channel for the Green Room, kind of more vape oriented. You got a little bit of that at the beginning of the show here today, but we do a lot of kind of conversations like that, as well as just some fun hangouts and just, you know, fun and games at the end of the night just to kick off the weekend. But with that being said, I'm going to end it like I always do, sending out all those positive vibes. Chris by fives. Don't forget to tell somebody you love them, and a little bag or dab will do you.
Excellent. And a big shout out to Frames for pulling off an excellent close out immediately after a dab and not
dying.
Dude,
no cough, bro? No, yeah, just kidding. Yeah. There was a lot of coughing pre-passed to me.
Pre-unmuting.
Yeah.
Well, you held it together through that one real well. Even
I was red at the beginning of that. Did you see? I'm still a little red, but I was real red at the beginning.
Yep, yep. Well, fucking done. And with all of that, folks, yeah, we've pretty much said it all. So you know where to go, shedtimepodcast.com. You can find links to Patreon and everything else. Patreon members do get the episodes early before the audio goes live and a full month in advance before they're ever on YouTube. So that's your extra bonus. You're getting the video before everybody. And of course, the merch store, everything else will be available to you on that website as well. Big shout out to all of you. You know, we couldn't be here without you guys. So we appreciate all of you shedheads out there. And you know what I'm going to tell you? Don't let the bastards get you down. Be cool. Don't be a dick. And whatever it is that you do, be sure and have some fun, because this is the Shed Time Podcast. And it's time to roll on up and roll on out. DynaVap, DynaVap, DynaVap. Looking to cut the cord on your dry herb vape? DynaVap. Trying to get the best taste from your herb? DynaVap. Ready to take your sesh to the next level? Then meet DynaVap, the best way to vape your flower or concentrate. Concentrates? That's right, your flower or hash can be vaped using DynaVap. Check out DynaVap.com to learn more. That's DynaVap.com. Lose the ash? DynaVap.
What's going on, Shedheads? It's your boy, Frames Janklin. Are you looking to step up your match game or have a raw copper, brass, or stainless mod or RDA that you're absolutely tired of polishing? Then you need to go and hit up my man, Ashton, of Palmer's Powders. He does some absolutely amazing powder coating work. He offers many different colors and finishes at an absolutely killer price. This man is taking powder coating to a whole new level, and he can make your setup an absolute masterpiece. You can go follow him over on Instagram at Palmer's Powders, and you can go check out pricing on his website, palmerspowders.com. That's palmerspowders.com. And as always, let's just vape on, Shedheads.
I want you to think of your favorite rebuildable right now. Yeah, okay, so you have a layer cake in your hand, and now you're about... Oh, sorry, yeah, that's not everyone's favorite, that's just mine. So think of your favorite reboldable atomizer. Think about how good of a vape it produces for you. Now, take that and amplify it. And the way that you amplify that is you put in some Breezone coils. Breezone coils are handcrafted in Adelaide, Australia. They're made from some of the finest quality wire that you can get. I believe it's Wire Buddha. You take those coils, you take them out of that phenomenal packaging that clearly shows how much care that Adam puts on the quality of his coils and the insurance that you get them in good shape. You put them in that favorite RDA, and guess what? You have coils that now sing better than Celine Dion. Go check out Breezone coils. You can find them on localvape.com and also steelvalleyvapors.com. Solid.
Autobots, roll out.
Oh, boy.
Dude, do you know Sean by chance, or James? Can you order caps from Dynavap without the Dynavap on it? And, like, yes. You get them? Yeah?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Oh, yo. You mean just the cap? You want just the cap?
Yeah, just the cap. Yeah. And then, like, you know how, like, it-